Okay, welcome back. Rosh Hashanah, Masechta Rosh Hashanah. There are four prakim in Rosh Hashanah. And the major topics, of course, are Rosh Hashanah, what we call the generic Rosh Hashanah. But as we're about to see, there's more than one Rosh Hashanah. Generally, the Masechta deals with topics related to, what we also call the Yom HaZikaron, the Yom HaDin, the day we blow the shofar, the Yom Truah, and things related to Tkiyat Shofar. Less so things related to Tshuva. Right? Things related to Tshuva are found more in Masechta Yoma. But since there's a need to establish a calendar, if Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of some kind of calendrical cycle, so then Chazal decided to park the sugyot of Kiddush HaChodesh, of the laws of the Jewish calendar, here. Now, for all of that, we'll be aided by having an astronomer present. When we get up to those sugyot, he'll show us all of those colored pictures and charts and explain to us those things that no matter how hard I try, I can just never understand.
That's why you pay me the big bucks.
That's why I will gladly give you my salary from those shiurim for the nights that you'll help us. You know what? I'll double it.
Oh, I'll do it.
You know, very many people were surprised to hear that I took this position as the editor of tradition, and that it's a voluntary position. So somebody said, I've got five different jobs. One of them pays a salary, and not a big one. Everything else I do for volunteer. I said, but you get paid in kavod. So I was reminded of that joke. The guy goes to town looking for the Rav. He gets to the outskirts of town. He finds Chaim Yankel. He says, "Hey, tell me, Chaim Yankel, where's the Rav?" So Chaim Yankel screws up his face and says, "The Rav? That Ganif? I don't know, walk that way." So he walks that way. He finds Shmuel. He says, "Hey, where's the Rav?" He says, "The Rav? That Shegetz?" He walks on, he finds Beryl. So where's the Rav? The Rav?
Good for nothing.
That Oisvorf. That means you can tell the joke as long as you have Klolos in Yiddish. Goy, Amaretz, Ganif, Scheister. Until finally he finds the Rav. He says, "Tell me, Rabbi, why do you do this?" So the Rabbi says, "What are you talking? For the coven." The Masechta begins Arba Rosh Hashanahim. There are, in fact, four Rosh Shanim. What is the word Haim doing there? Arba Rosh Hashanahim Haim. And let's imagine the Mishnah without
these are.
Yeah, these are. But the Mishnah could have also said Arba Rosh Hashanim Be'achad Benisan Be. Oh, Emet Ma'aneda. You were fabulous.
I'm just talking about you.
What?
In that video they made for my birthday. I was, first of all, the video that the guys, the few of you made here at the Shir, was fabulous. It was very humorous. Who knew that you guys had such a bakias in Ankhon?
Wikipedia.
Well, it was very well done. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Good.
So, Arba Rosh Hashanahim. Now, as the Mishnah could have said, Arba Rosh Hashanah, there are four Rosh Hashanahs, and then list them. So what's the word Haim doing?
Does it make it part of a sentence?
Thank you.
Maybe Haim is part of the list. It's Abba Rosh Hashanah. Abba Rosh Hashanah. See? Haim be Abba Nisan.
No, nobody reads the Mishnah that way, but it would be...
Does the...
It's all does.
When the Mishnah and Shammah...
I brought peas, by the way.
Does it use Haim?
No? No, in other words, like Mishnayot... Yeah.
No, but I'm talking about Mishnah Shabbos that also gives
right?
Similar structure.
No, but like the Mishnah. Yes, so sometimes you have it, but in other cases you don't. Right?
Shabbos is on your name.
Copy.
And no, so I don't know. Sometimes you do, and sometimes you don't. But you have like Melachot Shabbat Lamed Arba'im Chaser Achat. Yeah, no, I understand. But so the Turi Evan says that. No, I'm sorry. So the Haim indicates that it's a precise number, right? That it's four, it's not three, it's four, it's not five, it's four and no more. That's what the Tosfos Yom Tov on the Mishnah here says. Right? So the Torah says that's why the Gemara doesn't ask what you see in some other numbered Mishnahs. Right? Where it says four lafukema. Right? What's not included? Is it four? Is it really four? Right? Or is there another one hidden between the lines? So Arba Rosh Hashanah Haim, whenever you have a Mishnah that has it, it's to indicate, like Rosh Yotah Shabbat, that there's a specific number, no more and no less. You know what the list? That's why the Gemara doesn't ask what the list in the Mishnah comes to exclude, which other Gemaras which is sometimes the case with other Mishnayot with other Gemaras. So Arba Rosh Hashanah Haim, let's learn the Mishnah. Although the Gemara will go into the details of each one. Number one, Bechad Benisan Rosh Hashanah leMelachim veLeRegalim. So, what is Rosh Hashanah leRegalim?
The
Chagim begin from Nisan. In other words, the first, if you list the Chagim, we always begin with Pesach. Like you go to shul, and they have the stained glass windows. In the shul I grew up in, there were the stained glass windows, and the stained glass windows represented the different holidays. The first window was Pesach, right? What is Melachim? Rosh Hashanah leMelachim.
The rain begins on the first of Nisan.
So how does the rain begin on the first of Nisan? What if you become the king on Rosh Chodesh Iyar? When does your rain begin?
Good question.
So the first Rashi says Regalim Lemalachim Regilim Hayu Limnot Zman Shtarotehem Lishnot Hamelech. The documents, all official documents, were dated according to the year of the reign of our king. Right? So the year of the rain begins, you hit the reset button on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So that if the king becomes king
in Iyar,
so from Iyar to the following Nisan is year one, and on Nisan becomes, but if he becomes king on Purim, right, 2 weeks before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so his first quote unquote year is very short, it's only 2 weeks long. Right, and then on the second week of his reign, he begins already year two. Why this din of the Arba Rosh Hashanah leMelachim is a din de Araisa or din de Rabbanon?
It would have to be the Rabbanon.
No, it's the Araisa. If you write a star, star at the Rabbanon.
Even if Shtarot were there, even if the concept of Shtarot was there, right, the convention of dating them according to the kings is the Rabbanan. Why does Melachim come first? No, in other words, you have these two dinim. You have these two dinim that are both part of the Rosh Hashanah of Rosh Chodesh Nisan.
Melachim and Regalim.
Melachim and Regalim. So how would you...
Even though it's a Derabanan, you shouldn't take it seriously.
Well, that's a nice vort.
What if you're saying that the Shanim of the Melachim...
That's the incorrect answer. Let me try.
The way we count the years is 100.
For what?
For the count the year... It's the way we calculate the tenure for the Kohanim. Because remember, we learned in our previous Masechta, right, that Kohanim come for some amount of time from each village. So you have to calculate who goes when, and so therefore you can't have the...
Yeah, but those aren't by those are...
Well, you have... You start somewhere.
Anyway, but it's not. But why would you say that?
Because then it would make sense to put the Kohanim before the Levim.
Yeah, but there's no Kohanim here.
No Kohanim, it's Malachim.
But if you're using that to count for when the Kohanim show up or when they don't show up, like, this is when you're starting your calendar year, right? Like, if you're saying that you're counting your years according to the kings, and this is when we're starting our year, so it will make sense to put it before the Lego because you have to start your year somewhere before to set the calendar.
I don't understand.
Never mind.
Do you have two?
No, I'm saying. I'm just saying, like, if you substitute the word Melachim with the word calendar, so therefore it would make sense to put it before the Lego because you need to start the calendar year so you can figure out which.
But it's not the start of the calendar year. Right. It's not the start of the calendar year. It's the start of a particular count of years for the purposes of dating documents. Shtarot, and particularly, which kind of shtarot?
So I guess it's...
What? No. Shachov. Right? A promissory note. But we'll come to that. No, but as you have these two things, as if I had to ask you to organize the Mishnah, if I gave you like all the random pieces and asked you to put them together on your own, so in the first category you have Regalim, and you also have... Malachim. Mm-hmm. So which would you put first?
I would have started with Regalim, but I didn't.
Why would you have started with Regalim?
Regalim seemed to be...
Because that's
the... But certainly Moed D'Oraisa, right?
And
right?
The dating of Malachim is a convention. It's a nice right. convention. Right.
So what's gained by starting with Malachim?
Maybe it's the more common usage.
Ah, so maybe it's the more common usage.
Right,
more what's the nafkamina of Pesach being the first Yom Tov?
Because the Torah starts in
Ulat Israel.
Freedom began.
The Torah
yeah, that's you're speaking philosophically. But what's the halacha? What's the nafkamina la halacha?
Doesn't it start counting?
So perhaps for Nidarim, we saw this in Nidarim, the idea of if you make a stam and neder, right, to do something without say if I take a neder, I'm going to bli neder, I'm going to do X within 30 days, so then we know when the neder starts and when the neder ends. But if you stam make a neder that you're going to do something, remember nedarim? We learned nedarim before we learned Megillah. We learned Megillah a long time, but we learned nedarim before Megillah. So if you stam make a neder without specifying a date, how long do you have to do? What do you say? Mañana? One day? I'll get to it? No, so generally we say you have three regalim. But that, it depends on when you make the neder. That's if you make that neder on Erev Sukkot, you have until Shavuos. So, l'may nafkamina, that Pesach is first. So, in that sense, if you're in the world and you write shtarot, we write fewer and fewer checks, right? I mean, how often do you write a check anymore? Right? How often do you get a check? Not often enough. No, but in other words, we live in a world where checks are...
whenever you get a check, can't give you cash, can't do a bank transfer.
No, you know, I remember the most annoying like day of the year, like would be in September, when you'd have to write out the checks for the chugim, right? You know, you have four kids, they're in eight chugim, and you have to write out, you know, you'd go through three checkbooks, right? Just to write out the 10... post-dated checks for each chug, and then you'd have to give post-dated checks for the vat bayit, and you'd have to, right? So you don't do that anymore. You do everything. You go. You don't even have to put in the password on your phone. It knows your face, and you put in ki'ilu post-dated. You put in the payments to the phone. We have paper checks, or you don't get paid in paper checks anymore. You know, so. But we live in a world with shtarot. What's a check? A check is a promissory note. It's a shtarchov, right? So living in a world with the shtar chov, that's very yom yom. So you're right, Tom. That milachim is more shayach than regalim. Like lamay nafkamina that Pesach is first. You say Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. You never say Shavuos, Sukkos, Pesach. So one second. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Is Pesach mentioned first in the Shalosh Regalim?
Pesach is mentioned first in the Shalosh Regalim, and it's also first in the sense of HaChodesh, as in a couple, when is Parshas HaChodesh? In the next 2 weeks? Now this week is Para, and next week is HaChodesh. So, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. The Nisan is the first, it's like this curios of the Jewish calendar. Even though, I mean, we celebrate Rosh Hashanah in Tishrei. Even though, you know, the Gemara debates this, whether or not the world was created in Nisan, it was created in Tishrei. But we function as if the world is created in Tishrei. So the year changes in Tishrei. Coming Tishrei will be up to, it's now 5-7, right? So Tavshin Ayin Tet. So next year will be Tavshin Ayin Yud.
No.
What will it be?
Tavshin Pei.
It's a trick question. You get it? So next year will be Tavshin Pei. So the year will change in Tishrei, but what's the first, we never do this, right? We never write. But when I was
people do.
Somebody do one. No, but on your check you could write.
I have option I knew.
No. I'm sorry. You could on your check write what's today is Kaf Adar Bet Tavshin Ayin Tet, and it's perfectly legal. But you would not write 20/. Well, what month is it? Let's say it's the 12th. It's the 13th month technically. Right, if you wrote 20/13/79, right, no bank would accept that. Even though by the same rationale that we say today is 26/3/19, right, if you were to write 20/13/79, no bank would accept that. It's an invalid as a dating mechanism, although the logic behind it would work. When I was in college in YU, they used to have something called the Guide for the Perplexed, which was, in those days, it was the phone directory for YU and Stern, which was very important to have, because you might, if you were in YU, you might have a reason to call a phone number in Stern. So there was once a guy who had learned in Bravender's, who became, like every year, like there was an editor of the, like it was a big job to like get everybody's phone numbers. Remember, you'd move into your dorm in September, and you'd have to order from Ma Bell to come and hook up your phone and get your phone number, right? I mean, nobody, there's no college student in America today that has a landline, right? And you'd share it. You'd have your phone, you'd share it with your roommate, right? So, but now everybody shows up, everybody has their number, and it stays with you for your whole life. So the guy who 1 year I was in college.
So the guy who
was the editor of the Guide for the Perplexed, they would put in other things in there, like there'd be like a section, ideas, like good ideas where to go on a date, and like emergency numbers and like things to know and etc. So then the editor would write like a little preface. So 1 year, it was a guy who had learned in Hamiftar, and his preface was, "We're pleased to present you with this year's edition of the Guide for the Perplexed. In the words of Rabbi Chaim Bravender, anything that leads to a shidduch can't be all bad." So in the guide, there were phone numbers. There was your name, your room number, your dorm room number, you know, like what room you were in, and your phone number. Your phone number in the dorm, your phone number at home, wherever you lived, and your birthday. I guess they thought it would be handy. So I remember I once called up some girl, and I happened to notice that her birthday was, in other words, it said like 1/25, and it happened to be January 25th. So I said, "Oh, I see that it's your birthday. Happy birthday." So she said, "It's not my birthday." I said, "But it says right here. Is it 1/25? She said, "Yes, Kaf Hei B'Nisan." So I said, "Oh." She said, "Yes." It's like it was a Zionist position that she goes by the Hebrew dates, and she was quite disappointed that I didn't do so as well. No, today she lives in West Hempstead, and I'm living in the Yehuda V'Shomron.
She built her by the
Amorites. Yeah. So, but she celebrates her Hebrew birthday. So, as do I normally, actually.
I really don't
but,
like people like that. Anyways,
yeah. So, because you're very mild mannered, you don't like. This is curious of the Hebrew calendar that the date of the year and the first month don't go together. We're used to this idea from the Gregorian calendar that the year changes over, and the moment after the ball drops, it becomes not only the next year, but the first day of the first month. The Hebrew calendar works on a different kind of cycle. There's the cycle of the year, which renews at Tishrei, and there's the cycles of the months, which begin on Nisan. Even though it doesn't have so much of a nafkamina to our lives, because we don't think of the months in those, we don't think of Nisan as one and Iyar is two. We think of it as Nisan and Iyar. Like the nafkamina is that Nisan is the first of the month, is the first month of the year, even though it's not the Rosh Hashanah, but it's the first month of the year. For which purpose? You have to earn. This is already the meter's running.
I'm sorry, you're confusing me, but Nisan's first month of the year for dating your checks.
No, but why is Nisan the first month?
Because there are two accounts.
Ki Rosh Chodesh is Rosh Chodeshim, right? Because Nisan, for the purposes of the months, sets the calendar. Since Nisan has to be in the Aviv. And if we have to, we're going to jimmy with the calendar by adding in an... How come when we have a Shana Mu'beret, why don't we get a Shana Mu'beret in Kislev? Why in Adar? What?
Adar is the shortest month.
Because
the month before Nisan.
Because
month before Nisan.
Which means, so Beseder, you could add it in Kislev and to push everything. If you add an extra month in Kislev, everything will get pushed off a month. But you don't know in Kislev.
Before right? We had a calendar.
Before the set calendar. Right? That's what the Gemara will say.
Because when you go on a hike now, you can see the
it's a lot of mud.
The barley isn't ripe yet.
Right.
You couldn't have had any sun 2 weeks ago because the barley's not ripe.
But also there's a lot of mud.
That's a different issue.
Right? No, but that's one of the simanim, that it's not yet... Right? So in other words, so it's not that Adar, there's something special in Adar. Adar gets the leap year, the leap month, only because it's the last man before Nisan, right? And that's when we'll know, do we need an extra month or don't we need an extra month before there was a set calendar.
Why only in Adar will we know if we need an extra month?
Because in other words, in Adar, in other words, in Kislev, or in any other prior month, it's too early to know, is Pesach going to fall out too early in the year? Is Pesach going to precede spring? How would we know that? How do we know what the weather in Kislev? How would we know what the weather's going
to
be like in Nisan?
You don't have a Gregorian calendar, so you don't know that it's January. The point is that Nisan has to be when the barley is ripe, which means it has to be warm already and stuff growing. And you don't know that in the middle of winter how long it's going to take, because you might have a mild winter, etc.
So by the time you get to Adar, there's Simanim to know whether the lunar calendar is too far out of sync with the solar calendar. In which case, you can add in a month to push off Pesach by a month, so that you'll be, you know, and you know, because the Islamic calendar doesn't have leap years. That's why Ramadan. You never know when Ramadan is. Ramadan, it's the middle of the right. Ramadan can be in the middle of the summer, or it can be in December.
So is global warming going to mess up the fixed calendar?
No, because our fixed calendar.
If it begins to get warmer earlier, then the fixed calendar, well, you're going to put in a second Adar, and you really didn't have to. I mean, if you believe that there was global warming.
Fake news.
Not going there.
There are several simanim, as the Gemara talk about.
We'll get to it.
The warm weather is just one of them.
I mean, certainly also all of this only also shows that that my potential girlfriend of the Cafe Nissan, right? The whole one of the underlying themes here is that the whole system of Jewish time telling is relevant in Eretz Yisrael, right? Because if you live in other parts of the world that experience different climates, that experience the seasons differently, to say nothing of the southern hemisphere.
Well, that was the problem with Tein Tabu Racha when you're in Australia. Right. You could do it any time of the year and you'll be right.
Right.
You either go to Israel or going to go to Australia.
Right, that's true in America also. Like the idea in America, as our kids don't understand, like our younger kids are going to America this summer, right? So they don't understand, like in America, you can go to the summer, it can rain the whole summer. Right? It's like, to an Israeli kid, that's like a foreign idea. Rain in the summer? Who ever heard of such a thing?
Walk outside in shorts and a t-shirt in the rain.
No, it would be like, right. In other words, here, rain is synonymous with cold.
Yeah.
Right? Well, we don't own, my kids don't own, I went to Europe last summer. I went on this trip to Ukraine. I had to buy a raincoat. By raincoat, meaning a very, very light raincoat that you can fold up, keep in your bag, that protects you from getting soaking wet, but isn't designed to keep you warm. But here, if it's raining, you need a winter coat, right? There's no such thing as what we call in America a raincoat, because there's no need for it, because in the summer that doesn't rain. So the whole system of time telling is designed for Eretz Yisrael. What's another reason that we might start with Melachim?
Kvod Malchut.
Kvod Malchut. And it could be that the whole reason that we use the king's reign, the date of the king's reign, as the dating device for the checks, for the shtarot, is Kvod Malchut, or what Rashi calls Shloma Malchut.
That's what everybody did.
That's what everybody did in certain places.
Everywhere.
Not everywhere.
But we did it too.
No, are doing it. No.
What are you saying? In ancient times, everybody, all dates went according to, they said this is the first year of the king, second year of George, third year of George.
In the Christian era, then they stayed up to the first year.
Excuse me?
The year of our Lord.
But that's not till the Middle Ages. And also our counting of Mibriat Olam.
So I'm going to come to that. Either.
The way that we know history, like if you want to correlate any event in history, like you want to know when were the pyramids built or when did the Greeks defeat the Persians, it goes by a king's list that astronomers kept. That said, you know this king reigned this many years. And so they all, I don't know if they used Nisan, but they all had some start date, which wasn't January 1st, and it wasn't the day the guy became king. There was some...
But in other words, it's been offered homiletically, that in a Masechta that deals with Rosh Hashanah, what's the most appropriate thing to start with? Ha Melech. What's the great theme of Rosh Hashanah? Right? Malchut. Right? So the idea that you begin the Mishnah with Malchut, that the first sugi in the Gemara is Malchut.
If not,
but it doesn't matter. In other words, it touches on the right note of Malchut, and then you can say all types of drashot that you want. So Arba Rosh Hashanah Hem Bechad Benisan Rosh Hashanah Melachim V'Regalim Bechad Be'elul Rosh Hashanah L'Maaser Behema Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Shimon Omrim Bechad B'Tishrei. So Maaser Behema, you know, you have a flock. Every year the flock gives... What's the good thing about having a flock?
Yeah,
it increases, right? All you have to do is feed them, and then you get more. So maser behema,
unless you eat them faster.
That's what they're in the flock, right? The maser behema means every tenth animal is maser, is has to go off to mikdash, right? You know, that's the other. And there's another Rosh Hashanah theme, right? Vakarat roedro. Right, that's how the Maaser Behemah. They would take all the behemoth, they would line them up, they would pass them through a chute, and you'd stand there with your makel, with your shepherd's crook, and every tenth one you would mark it, and that becomes the metaphor for Hashem examines each and every person passing kol boe olam, passing before them. So as the Mishnah itself is kind of constructed to, you know, kind of touch these Rosh Hashanah themes that will come later in the
So when we say it must have a behemoth, Rosh Hashanah must have a behemoth, what we're saying is a cow born in whatever month it is, doesn't matter. We count the year from either Rosh Chodesh.
So there's a halacha in Trumotum Asrot of fruits and vegetables as well as the behemoth that you can't be mafrish.
Something from 1 year to the next.
You can't be mafrish from one crop to the next, right? So, in other words, you don't take unlike Trumot Masrot generally. This is a topic we've touched on a number of times, right? Trumot Masrot, which is not so practical in our daily lives because we've outsourced our mitzvot. But you go to your cherry picking in June, and you come home, or you have a tree in your garden. And you bring in a couple of rimonim or a couple of shizifim or whatever it is you have in your garden, right? When should you do Trumot Masrot?
Right away.
Right away.
Right away when you bring them in.
Right? Right away. If for some reason you can't, you should mark it. You shouldn't leave it. It's just like you wouldn't leave a treif laying around. Right? It's worse than treif. Right? This is a much more serious issue. We say that a chaver, right, a learned person would never leave around tevel, but with maser behema, you don't do that, obviously, right? You wait for the whole flock to be born. As animals give birth over certain periods, it's not like humans.
Oh, right? Then you have
so why obviously why not take the 10th one that was born?
Because that's not how it was done. Is you would take the whole thing.
Any animals born between.
And because anyway, during the first few months of their life, you don't do anything with those animals anyway. They're no good. You can't work them. And you don't eat them. Right? So when the animals are done giving. When the birthing season is over, thank you. Right, which usually takes place over a couple of weeks. Unlike humans, where we give birth all year long, even though I think there's some months that are a little more popular and less, but generally speaking, you know, human births are averaged out over the course of the year. That's not true for animals, right? So, on either Echad be'Elul or Echad be'Tishrei, depending on who you're paskin by, and it happens that this is an unresolved machlok. It's the machlok between the Rambam and other Rishonim. What's the halacha l'maaseh? You take all those born in that year and you do the maaser behema. But if you have two different crops
of animals,
yeah, crops, two different
litters,
herds, species, whatever, of animals. You can't be mafrish from one herd on the other, right? Each herd has to be viewed as its own integral unit, and you have to remove 10% from that. Be'echad b'tishrei, what we call Rosh Hashanah l'shanim, right? On Echad b'tishrei, it'll become Tavshin Pei. L'shmitin, right? On a Shnat Shmita, what year are we up to?
We're in the fourth year.
Right? So, in other words, Shemitah begins on what we call Rosh Hashanah, on Rishon LeTishrei, and on Yovlot. We don't have Yovel, but in the times that there was Yovel, the Yovel year would begin on the 50th year, starting from Tishrei. L'Nitiyah u'L'Yirakot. Nitiyah, for what purpose?
Orla.
Right? You see, Rashi, L'Minyan Shnei Orla. Va'afilu nata ba'av kaltash nata harishona. You plant it a few weeks before Rosh Hashanah. Comes Rosh Hashanah, you're already in the second year. Ule yirakot. Yirakot for what purpose? Lamaser yirakot. Right? So if you have vegetables that are from before Rosh Hashanah, let's say you have tomatoes in your garden. When do tomatoes grow? In the summer. So you have tomatoes in your garden, and you go out before Rosh Hashanah, and you pick some tomatoes. And for whatever reason, you don't do Trumot Masrot. And then on Motzei Rosh Hashanah, you go out and you pick tomatoes. You can't take. You have to do two separate Shemot Masrot because you can't be mafresh from one on the other.
Say that again. You have tomatoes.
If you have tomatoes in your garden,
yeah,
and you go out on Erev Rosh Hashanah, you pick a couple tomatoes, and for whatever reason you didn't do Shemot Masrot, okay. Right? And then you go out to Motzei Rosh Hashanah and you pick more tomatoes, and actually you have tomatoes and you have tomatoes. You have to do Shemot Masrot. Right, but you'd have to do two completely separate hafreshot because you can't be mafresh from one season on another season. And the line of demarcation for maaser yarkot is rishon b'tishrei, what we call Rosh Hashanah.
And that doesn't apply if I have grapes and I pick some erev Shabbat and we don't get to erev Rosh Hashanah.
No, so grapes. So that's for yarkot. Right?
The question is, Beli Kesher to any Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
If I pick a batch of grapes, I don't do Trumot Masrot, and then the next day I pick another batch.
Yeah, so then you could put them together and be Mafresh. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
If it's the same.
Yeah. In other words, if today. Right?
Okay.
And not only that, there are certain things that we don't take off Trumot Masrot from immediately. What specifically don't we take Trumot Masrot from immediately? Generally speaking, well, in other words, the grapes that you're talking about, but wine grapes and olives, you don't take Trumot Masrot from the grapes and the olives, the wine grapes and the olives,
the
wine grapes and the oil and the Zeit Shemen, right? What's Zeit Shemen? What's the difference between Zeit, you heard of Zeit Shemen? You live on it, right? What's the difference between Zeit Shemen and Shemen Zayit? Zeit Shemen are the olives that will be pressed into oil, and Shemen Zayit is the oil that you press in the olives. How they chose that name, I have no idea. And everybody must call it Zayit Shemen. Right?
Well, there was a discussion on Facebook.
What?
A couple of months ago, somebody asked about Zeit Shemen or Zayit Shemen.
Yeah. No, it's Zeit Shemen. So you take Trumot Masrot of the wine and the olive oil. So while you're doing the harvesting of the wine grapes and you're doing the harvesting the masik of the olives, you put them in your wherever you store them, and you let them sit as tevil, right? So and then you do the Trumot Masrot on the whole, and you were picking it for quite a few weeks, right? But you do the Trumot Masrot at the end when you have a barrel of oil.
Only on the finished product.
For wine and olive oil are exceptions to this rule.
Except that if you're gonna eat the grapes as grapes.
That is, if you're gonna eat the grapes as grapes, then you have to be mafresh them.
And if you're
gonna eat the olives as olives,
then it's wine also, right? It gets old.
Yeah. So you do it. I mean, the point being there that it's more advantageous to the Levi and the Kohen to get a bottle of wine or a bottle of oil, which were motzrim b'sisim. These were, this was the bread and butter of life in the ancient world. But it's better to get a bottle of wine and a bottle of olive oil as Trumot Masrot than olives that you would have to.
So if you're picking your wine grapes, and you got like the big bucket of them, and at some point while you're picking, you decide to nash a few.
So that's a separate halakha that you're allowed to nash without taking Trumot Masrot. It's in the field.
Right.
In the field, you're allowed to. But once you bring them in, then no.
That's the thing, you go cherry picking.
If you eat them in the garden, in the garden, you don't have to take them.
No, I meant like you bring them in and.
Yeah.
Is in only into your home or into a machzan also?
So, yeah, into a machzan also, but it's not exactly true that you can eat as much as you want. You can eat echad. You can't put them in as. You go out with that little bucket to. Once you start collecting them in the bucket, you shouldn't eat from there. Right? We have this, I told you maybe we have this raspberry bush in the. So, and as the raspberries come, it never pays to bring them in because. At any given moment, there's only 5 ripe raspberries. You go back later in the day, there'll be another 5 ripe raspberries. And you go back later in the day, there'll be another 5 ripe. But never, it's once a year, there's like one afternoon in the year where you have like this big bunches of all ripe. And then we gather them together, we bring them to the house, we do Trumot Masrot. But to go out, if you have 6 people at home sharing these 5 raspberries, so you go and you eat them in the gina, chad, right? But you pluck it. You eat it, and then you can pluck another one. But you can't pluck them all and hold them right? And then eat them. So
you can pluck a bucket and eat them.
You pluck, you eat, and then you gather into your bucket. Then you
bucket, yeah. Once you fill the bucket, eat it all, and then go
right,
back and
right.
pluck another bucket.
So, okay, where were we? Be'echad b'shvat Rosh Hashanah le'ilan. That's for the purposes of Trumot Ma'asrot. The line of demarcation for the crops of fruit trees is Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Is that true?
No,
no. No, well, it's a machloket, but we know it's not true from our own experience. Kedemrei Beit Shammai Beit Hillel Omrim be Tu B'Shvat. Why is Tu B'Shvat the date chosen for the Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan?
Fruit starts to ripen. The fruit starts to, you just flowers up into that flower.
Fruit starts. Because there is no fruit.
Maximum, you got the
blossom. No, what's the best date to choose? Would it be useful to have Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan on Tu B'Sivan? Tu B'Sivan, all the fruit trees are...
Right, everything is already out. You wouldn't know it's...
It would be terrible, right? Because there's so much fruit. You want to set this line of demarcation at a point where it's very clear... That the previous year's crop is basically done, and next year's crop hasn't yet started, right? That's the irony, right? Of Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat becomes this. Oh, it's the year the peirot there, peirot shenishtabchu b'hem eretz Yisrael at a time when you can't. That's why you have the minhag of dried fruit. Why? Who likes that dried fruit? Yeah, better than fresh fruit.
No.
Who likes buckser?
Nobody. Right? But in other words, the dried fruit you eat on Tu B'Shvat, because there's today, obviously, we have fresh fruit all the time because it's grown in wherever, and it's shipped in from wherever, right? But in a world where you don't have, where you eat only local produce when it's available.
It's mostly local produce.
We ship in a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of stuff imported already.
Right? There's a lot, you go to the supermarket, there's a lot of stuff imported from Europe. Right. There's a lot of stuff imported from Europe, and even stuff that's local, it's available year-round because of hothouses and because of pesticides and because of other things. So, but in the state of nature, there'd be fruits that you would get at certain times, and they wouldn't be around the rest of the year. Right? So that's this custom of the... So that's the Mishnah. Now the Gemara unpacks the Mishnah and starts with this inyan of Malachim. La Malachim la Mai Hilchata. Like, well, okay, what does it mean that we that Rosh Hashanah is that Echad Benisan is Rosh Hashanah la Malachim? La Mai Hilchasa, la Mai Nafkamina. Look at Rashi. La Mai Hilchasa. Klomar Lama Hukba Yom Miuchad la Minyan Hamalachim. What do we need this for? Ema sha'al kol melech v'melech hitchil shnato miyom shamat bo. Why do you need this? Because some read the Gemara's question as being like, what's the halacha that this is relevant to? Rashi reads it as a more ekronit. Like, what do you need this for?
Yeah, just say when the king was coronated.
Right, in America. Right, well, in America, the president is always inaugurated on January 20th. So you know that we're in the second year of the reign of Trump, the third year of the reign of Trump, by January 20th. Okay, but with kings, it's not like that, because you don't have a set... Look, I always find... I could tell you, I could go back, I could give me any year, and I could tell you who was president that year. Because you know that... I mean, minus the people that died in office or were assassinated, it's these very... 4 year things, people had 2 years or 4 years, except for Roosevelt, who had 12 plus, right? It's very easy to know who was president when. I can never remember. Like, I know Bibi's been in office for, who remembers? Wait, this is the fourth time he's running, the fifth time he's running. Wait, which Knesset? This Knesset was 2 years long. That Knesset was 4 years long. I can never. Remember that. So it makes it difficult to remember, aside from like knowing that, okay, Golda was prime minister during Milchemet Yom HaKippurim, and Begin was prime minister during the first Lebanon War and during Camp David and other things like that. But just to know which years Wait, what years was Begin prime minister? It's hard to remember because it's these amorphous, shapeless.
Well, it started in 1977.
77, yeah.
Okay, so you have to go back. You have to remember, and then you have to count. Okay, so when did he step down? It was 80 something. It was right. It's not like America. You know, like Reagan was elected in 80, right? And he was there till 88, or I mean, technically January 89. Right. He was in office from January 81 to January 89, but he was elected in 80, and then the next guy was elected in 88. So with kings, so the next king comes when the last king died.
Nixon and Ford kind of screwed that up a little bit.
No, so I'm saying that they were accepted people that leave office earlier, but there aren't that many people. Nixon's the only guy who resigns, and you have people a handful of people who died in office, but in our lifetimes. In our lifetimes, you're only dealing with Nixon and Kennedy, right? And even when that happens, the other guy comes in as a placeholder, but the term expires at the same time that it would have expired anyway, right? You always have these four even years. But a king, right? The king dies. The next king becomes king whenever. You know, there's that big article early this year about... It was a little macabre, you know, like when she should live and be well, besonderen zwanzig, but Her Royal Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, long may she reign and save us from Charles, right? But everything is planned out. I mean, down to the minute, right? Everything is planned out from the moment she dies, like for the next month, like minute by minute by minute, it's all planned out down to the detail. The only thing I don't know is when that's going to be. And since it looks like she's going to live forever, right, they don't have to worry about it. Like, she's going to live until he dies, just to spite him. Right? So...
You just have to put up a new plan.
No, so then they'll pass it over to the grandson. So, who everybody seems to like. Right? So, and his wife. So, why not say it's what year is this? She just had a big anniversary, like the year before she was like 60 years on the throne or something, right? So, what year? This is the 63rd year of the reign of Queen Elizabeth II. When did we start the count? From whatever day it was that she became queen, which was the day her father died. So Rashi says, so what do you need? Like, why do you need to have a set date?
And the answer is basically what you were saying, because when you want to say, okay, how many years ago did I plant this tree? And you say, oh, it's 3 years of this king plus 4 years of that king.
You're mixing apples and oranges.
No, no, no.
The expression.
No, because if you need all the kings to start on the same date of the year,
right.
Otherwise you would add three and four and you would get eight or whatever.
For the purposes of shtarot.
For everything.
No, because the Malachim are the Malachim for the purposes of Shtarot.
Right.
Not for the purposes of, there's a different, independent of who the king is, that's got nothing to do with when you take Shema LeMasrot.
It sort of does, because like in the example that you gave about U.S. presidents, you said, oh, that was 1977. It's like, there was nothing else to pin on. There wasn't Shanim Nibriya, there wasn't the Christian era, there was just the kings. You would count like, okay, so 3 years ago there was a previous king, and it was the 15th of Nebuchadnezzar, and then it was the, you know, you would add up the kings because there was no other system to peg on. So you have to have the king start on a specific date, otherwise you would never know how many. Excuse me?
They don't start on
a
specific
date. No,
they
do.
They
all start on the first of Nisan.
No, they don't start on the first of Nisan.
No.
They start on whatever day they become king.
But when you
and
count,
the second year...
Right. So everybody went around and they said, oh, it's the second year of the king, even though they've only been in office for a month.
Right, or a day.
But everybody would count consistently. You know how many years ago, either for your star or also for Orla, you wanted to know, how many years ago did I plant this tree? You say, well, who was king?
But wouldn't that be true if we say this king happened to become king?
No, but then you'd have to remember the date that he started.
Okay, no, that's a little hard. You can expect people to. That's more or less what you see. Tosfot here l'shtarot. That's more or less what you must have read ahead.
Last time I did this, yeah.
Right. That's more or less what Tosfot says. We can expect people to remember. Pachoto Yoter, how many years the king has been on the throne. I can't necessarily expect you to remember the actual anniversary of the day he became king. So it's easier if there's one set date for all the, you know, like in England they also have, you know, the king or queen's birthday is celebrated as a national holiday. But it doesn't matter when the king or queen's actual birthday is. It's always celebrated in, I think, the beginning of June.
There's
why? Because if the nice queen's weather. Birthday, yeah, nice weather. If you're giving people a bank holiday, you want them to have a nice day to celebrate it.
There's actually lots of systems that we do this for. Like there's that midrash about Dorha Bar, that like they all have their birthdays on Tisha B'Av or whatever.
Oh.
That's how you count it.
But
if you ever, on certain marathons, if you run in, when they have the age categories, it's January 1st is your birthday.
Right.
They don't care when you're born.
Well, like also, I mean, think about it. Think about
and
this.
If you raise horses and you want to sell a 3-year-old horse, they're all January 1st or whatever the spring is.
Well, forget, you don't have to go to that. School. How do you know when you send your kid to school? Right? So there's a cutoff. So here, it's Hanukkah.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So as if your kid is going to turn whatever it is, four before Hanukkah, so he goes this year. After Hanukkah, and in America, it's September 1st. Right? You need to say that this crop of children, this is one machzor. When does the machzor begin? You need some kind of arbitrary date. So the Gemara says, "L'malachim l'may hilchata." So Omar Rav Chisda l'shtarot. We need to know for the dating of shtarot. Ditznan. Shtarei chov hamukdamin psulin. If you predate a shtar, it's pasul. Right? In other words, if I lend you money. So I lend you money, you have to give me a shtar. The shtar is a promissory note with edim that I lent you this money on such and such a date, and because I have the shtar, I'm able to force you in Betin to pay me back. You remember we saw in Sanhedrin, you remember Sanhedrin? Sanhedrin is what we learned before Nadar, which we learned before Megillah. So in Sanhedrin is a halacha, which is a halacha on the books, which is a halacha v'lo morin kein. It's usur to loan any money whatsoever without a shtar. It's 10 o'clock at night, we're in the rainy parking lot in Rami Levi, and I don't have that 5-shekel coin to put into the agala, and you're there, and I said, can you help me out, you got 5 shekels? Right? You shouldn't give it to me without me standing there in the rain giving you a shtar for those 5 shekels. Now that's not that's the halacha, but we don't follow that. Because later authorities said, look, I mean, it's a little crazy. Right? I mean, you want people to, you know, you're standing online, you want people to lend you a dollar. Right? But if I asked you to front me $1,000, it might be different. Right? We all understand there's some kind of line somewhere in the state. So a shtar mukdam is pasul. Why a shtar mukdam is pasul, that we'll talk about next week. But since we need to know what the date is, so this is connected to this topic that Tom has mentioned a couple of times. It's going to be Tafshin Pei, next Rosh Hashanah. How do we know that?
Where does that after Tafshin Ayin Tet?
No, but where does that number come from? And why did Chazal not just say you have to write the date Lebriat Olam, which is this universal calendar? Ah, you'll tell us next week.